It was a sellout, a jam-packed Vol Walk, Checker Kneeland, a brilliant light show, an entertaining football game, and then came the debris, the golf balls, the water bottles, and the mustard bottle, and the embarrassing fan behavior that caused a 20-minute delay. And at the end of the day, or at the start of the morning, Ole Miss escapes Neyland Stadium with a 31-26 victory. Welcome to Sunday Sports Soundoff. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with VFL Tim Irwin, a former star at the University of Tennessee, also with the Minnesota Vikings and at Central High School. Tim, it was a hard-fought game. Didn't end the way anybody would have wanted to in terms of fan behavior. But your thoughts on Tennessee's performance against Ole Miss last night?
I thought they gave a good accounting of themselves, Jimmy. They've been outmanned, but they played hard. I thought the difference in the ball game, obviously, was Ole Miss's quarterback play. He's phenomenal, and we have a hard time with a dual-threat quarterback that can run it and sling it. And he's a good football player. Without him, I think Ole Miss is a very average team. I was disappointed by the reaction of our fans. I mean, I played the game a long time. I've coached in the game. It's very important to me. I care deeply about what happens. But I guess I've never cared enough to where I felt like throwing stuff out on a field. That's just classless, baseless, does no good. That's something that I've seen at Auburn. I've seen it at Florida. I've seen it at LSU. And now we're lowering ourselves to that same standard. It's just crazy. And I'm very disappointed in our student section, which is where I think most of it came from. But it doesn't take away from the great effort those kids gave on the field. Nobody's more disappointed than they are. Nobody should care as much as they do. But you got to remember, this is a game. It's not war. It's not life-altering. It's a game. We go to it and watch it for amusement. And for us to be throwing things at the opposing team is just classless. And it marred what otherwise was a great classic, contest.
Yeah, that's what I thought. In fact, if I'm Tennessee, I'm going to go through some video if I can find it. And if I found that you were among those throwing a golf ball or water bottles, you're gone. You're not welcome back at Neyland Stadium. And by the way, Jeff Jarnigan, public address announcer, said he said if the fans don't stop throwing things on the field, this game is going to be called a forfeit. And there was about a 20-minute delay that occurred. So that should be a pretty good lesson. Then I looked up in the stands, and there was a fight that broke out, not in the student section. It was in another area. I saw a Tennessee official that looked up there, and he was concerned because he had family sitting up in that area, but it wasn't the exact area where the fight broke out, and I saw several policemen going up there to try to deal with that. But an ugly scene at the end that marred a heck of a battle as Tennessee took the 13th-ranked team down to the wire and had a great chance to win. All right, let's go through our thumbs up. Jabari Smollett at running back. Hadn't played since he got hurt against Pittsburgh. 21 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown as Tennessee had to go with that Tyon Evans. Tim, what did you think of Jabari Smollett's performance?
Gutsy, tough. He's not as sensational as Evans, but he's a good back. And I think he runs instinctively. I think he got better as the game went on. I just wish we'd had all our starters up there blocking for him. I think the loss of both Mays brothers was kind of devastating. And then we lose. We're down two linemen, and we lose another one during the game. We're down three starters on the offensive line. And that's pretty tough when you don't have a lot of depth to begin with.
Yeah.
But I was proud of those guys. I think their run block is better than their pass blocking right now.
Yes. Cade Mays played three plays. He got hurt on play number three, and that was it. Some other thumbs up. I thought Hendon Hooker battled 17-26, 233 yards and a touchdown. That's a Tennessee high for passing yards in a game. He also ran for 108 yards on 23 carries. Cedric Tillman, 7 catches, 84 yards and a touchdown. And he nearly caught one in the end zone toward the end of the game. It was a little bit high for him. He leaped up and he almost made that catch. That would have won the game for Tennessee. Valus Jones, 6 catches for 93 yards. Another thumbs up. Thumbs up to a couple of linebackers. Jeremy Banks had 15 tackles. Aaron Beasley had 10. Trey Flowers got an interception. It's the first one Matt Carroll has thrown all year. It was a ball that was tipped twice. I believe I saw Jeremy Banks tip it, and then I believe I saw number 4, Warren Burrell, tip it. But Flowers got the interception. Again, the first one that Carroll has thrown this year. Thumbs up for the team's fight. They hung in there. They kept battling. And even though it looked like Ole Miss was about ready to put them away, Tennessee would not go down without a fight. Also, for a team that had to play 101 snaps, they gave up 510 yards. That's like 5 yards a play. That's actually pretty darn good. Now, you wish you had stopped them more often and not allowed so many third and fourth downs, but to play 101 snaps and only give up 5 yards a play, I thought that was pretty good. Field goal at the end of the half. I wasn't sure Tennessee should have called a timeout when they did, but they got the ball back. 53 seconds left on their own 16. They moved it down and got a field goal to cut it to 24-12 at half. And then Omari Thomas, defensive tackle, forcing that safety against Matt Carroll, who was guilty of intentional grounding in the end zone. So those are among my thumbs up. My thumbs down, Tennessee's defense. And going into the game, I thought a key would be whichever team was best at converting third and fourth downs. Well, it was Ole Miss. Ole Miss was 11 of 21 on third downs. There were 2 or 3 on fourth downs. And and Matt Carroll was incredible. I charted this. So on 4th and 6, he ran for 9. On a 3rd and 13, he got 23. On a 3rd and 9, he got 18. On a 4th and 3, he got 3. On a 3rd and 12, he got 13. On 3rd and 7, he ran for 20. 3rd and 7, he ran for 8. 3rd and 4, he ran for 12. That's 8 times he ran for a first down on either 3rd down or 4th down to keep drives alive. Of course, a big thumbs down, the fans throwing stuff on the field. Another thing, Joe Milton, the quarterback, running out of bounds at the end of the game. There were 2 seconds left on the start. You got to throw it in the end zone and hope. You can't run out of bounds. That wasn't a very smart play. I had a bit of an issue with the officials on the forward progress. They called on Matt Carroll on the fumble that Tyler Barron returned for a touchdown. It almost looked to me like Matt Carroll thought that the play had been blown dead. I don't know what he was doing. But what were your thoughts on that play, Tim, when Barron picked up the fumble, ran it in, and they ruled forward progress?
I thought that was ridiculous. I don't know how. I mean, they're trained, and we hear all the time, they're trained to let the play go on.
Right.
Not blow plays dead. And here we have a case where the quarterback, I don't care if he was confused, you can still fumble when you're confused. I couldn't see any evidence on the replay that that was anything but a strip. Now, I was wondering if there was an actual whistle out there somewhere.
Me too.
That we don't. He acted like he thought he heard a whistle. But nah, his runs, and let me tell you what they were doing, Jimmy. The uncovered offensive lineman was doing a great job getting on the spy. Now, spy is somebody that's sitting there dedicated to stopping the quarterback. So what they would do was that offensive lineman that was uncovered, once they figured out which guy didn't have a man on him, would go up and hit the spy guy and just scream him off. It wasn't any big dramatic hit. It was just getting his way. And the quarterback's such a good runner that he made one cut off that, and he's off to the races.
Yeah.
And I think the center was the guy that did it about 9 or 10 times, and I really got tired of watching it. We could not stop it. No matter what we tried, we couldn't stop it.
But one of
guys gave Herculean efforts and played a ton of plays, but we could not get off those blocks.
Yeah.
Our spies couldn't.
Yeah. So one of my thumbs down was just not being able to deal with Matt Corral on those quarterback draws. Here was another one that bothered me. Of course, the game went 4 hours and 33 minutes, which is absurd. And there was a delay in there. The number of players that were falling down, faking injuries, that just drives me nuts. And I'm going to call out Josh Heupel. This really bothered me. Javontaze Spraggins has his helmet come off. He's running off the field, and Heupel is clearly signaling him to fall down. He does it demonstratively, and Spraggins falls down and delays the game. What are you doing, Heupel? You're coaching injuries, and I don't like that, and I'm calling him out on it. That is wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Tennessee was doing it. Obviously, Ole Miss was doing it. It prolongs the game. I think it's unsportsmanlike and unethical as all get out, and I'm not a fan of it. Now, Tim, you may have a different view on that, but that I don't care for that. I don't think that should be allowed, and I think if you go down with an injury, you shouldn't play for the next 5 snaps. If you're hurt, get out of there, and you don't come back in right away, which many of them did. Do you see that any differently?
They're going to have to do something, and I don't know the answer. I think you're on the right track. Maybe it's 3 plays, maybe it's 5 plays. But when you leave the game and you stop the game out there for an injury, then you've got to come out more than 1 play. I thought that Corral's decision-making and his ad-libbing was just phenomenal.
Yes.
It reminded me of the game where Baker Mayfield beat us when Oklahoma came to play.
Yep.
And that's not a pain. That's kind of a painful memory. But I thought he was the complete difference in the ball game. He had well over 400 yards that he accounted for with his legs and his arm. It's pretty tough to win when somebody does that to you. I thought our decision-making at crucial times was just terrible. I mean, there comes a time and a point in the game where you got to just chunk it up there and hope. You got to take a chance. I mean, the game's over. And how you can run out of bounds on the last play of the game, I mean, if that's his decision-making process, I understand why he's not playing. And then our starter, Hooker, basically runs out of bounds on the second and third down before the controversial spot. He steps in, he just runs out of bounds. And both those situations were desperate enough that that's not what you do. You know, you take a chance, throw the football.
Right.
But we had a 1-yard gain and a no-yard gain. And, you know, if he makes a little something out of either one of those plays, we're not in that did he make the first down or not situation.
Yes.
And I thought his decision-making was bad, too, in those 2 plays.
Yeah.
So I don't know how badly Hooker's hurt. I suspect it's a pretty serious injury after watching it on television. But how do we speculate? They don't tell us anybody's status. So we don't know who's hurt and who's not. But it looked like he torqued that knee pretty good.
Yeah, it did. And that's a great concern, because if he's not there, and I thought he was really playing well for Tennessee, if he's not there, boy, that's going to really have a negative impact on this offense. One of the big plays also was a 4th and 24, which was before all the debris throwing, the pass to Jacob Warren. It was so close. Tim, I don't know about all the replays you saw, and I saw it live, saw replays. I never could get an angle that I thought was conclusive as to when his knee hit and where the ball was. When I first saw it, I thought he's got the first down. When I watched replays, I wasn't as sure. What did you make of that play on the pass to Jacob Warren?
My issue with it was a bad spot. Mm-hmm. I believe had the official spotted it as a first down and they reviewed it, it would have stood.
Yeah.
And I believe he spotted it short, and I just don't think he got the look that you needed. And I think there was another close one towards the Ole Miss sideline that they reviewed and they reviewed. And you didn't get the look you needed on that. That was the interception. You really didn't get the look you needed on that one either, to see if the ball touched the ground or not. And you don't get it on every play. On the goal line, you're supposed to get it. But, you know, the easiest thing for officials to do, replay officials to do, is say, let it stand. But I believe that one would have stood had he called it a first down. He certainly wasn't a yard short like they had him marked. It was certainly much closer than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I heard John Wilkerson say this last night, and I agree 100%. Why in the world was there not a camera angle from the Ole Miss sideline? You saw one from above. You saw one from the Tennessee sideline. And I have been told that a lot of ESPN in particular, but there are some networks that, due to cost measures, are not sending as many camera people to games, so you're not getting as many angles, as many viewpoints. And so I thought that was critical. If you had had a view from the Ole Miss sideline showing it, where the ball was when his knee hit, might have been a first down, might have changed things. But anyway, go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say my other instant reaction to the missed pass in the end zone, the ball that was a little high.
Yes.
His feet barely left the ground, Jimmy. He wasn't ready for the velocity that was on that thing.
Yeah.
He extended, but he didn't get a jump.
Right.
And I think the ball got on him quicker than he thought it was going to. Yeah. But it was a possible catch, I thought. It wasn't overthrown like he's been overthrowing. It was just a little high. But just very disappointing. Very disappointing. And the decision-maker run out of bounds just left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And you just can't even think about doing that when the game's on the line. And if you do take it down and decide to run it, once you cross the line of scrimmage, you fight like a demon. You don't run out of bounds. I don't know. I thought if you're making that decision, I'm not sure I can trust you to make any more for me. Yep. I hate to say that, but that's the way it felt to me. Yep. We got to get some people healthy. I don't know. I did not hear Theo Jackson's name a bunch. Did he play?
Yes, he did play.
I didn't hear his name much.
He actually made 9 tackles.
Okay, well.
I'll say this. Sometimes I had trouble reading 26 versus 28 or 29, but, yes, he did play and was in on 9 stops. Sometimes I had an issue with trying to figure out numbers, so, but, yeah.
Right.
All right.
It was a heck of a ball game, and a heck of a ball game and a heck of an effort, despite all the negative things we've said, talked about, and we didn't cover maybe one of the most important plays of the game was the drop punt.
Yeah. Well, let's
turned out to be a difference.
Yeah, it was. So, we need to get a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that and a couple other things as well. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. You can hear us at 107.7 WIBK, 99.1 FM, The Sports Animal. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off, brought to you by the Marco Scarza Law Firm.
The Rules Committee looks at that during every offseason, you know, so I don't know. You know, I'm the wrong guy to ask about how we change that.
That's Josh Heupel when asked after the game about the number of players that went down. He said he's the wrong guy to ask about it. But that really bothered me that he did tell one of his players to go down. It was Javontez Spraggins. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off. I'm Jimmy Himes along with VFL Tim Irwin. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Tim, by the way, did you see Heupel telling his player to go down? Did you catch that on TV?
Yeah, I did. And let me tell you something. That one didn't bother me as much as some of the others. I'm going to explain why. The player is hurt enough. It's not a feigned injury. He's running off the field because he's hurt.
No, he wasn't. He was running off the field because his helmet came off. That's why he's going off the field.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, that's why he
I
left
didn't
the
know
field.
That was why he's running off the field. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then that's bad. That's bad. That's a manipulation of the rule. And until they find a way to fix it, coaches that run the hurry-up offense – And coaches that are coaching against the hurry-up offense particularly are going to continue to do it. I've never seen a game where there were so many flops, obvious flops.
Me either.
By both teams. I think Ole Miss had more than we did.
I think so.
By about double, but still we had a ton.
Yeah.
And it just slows things down and drains the emotion. There was a lot of things that took away from the greatness of the moment, and that was sure one of them.
I don't know why if you're on offense, you have one of your offensive players flop, unless you're trying to buy more time to call a play. I didn't quite understand that one. But before the break, you mentioned a key play in the game. Tennessee, at the beginning of the game, they force a punt. Velus Jones fumbles it on his own 11-yard line, and Alabama converts that. Tim, that was a big play to give Ole Miss the lead at the start of that game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you said Alabama converts it, but it's Ole Miss, obviously. You're thinking about next week. You're always one step ahead. I like that about you. Just a huge, huge momentum shifter. We stop them on their first drive. We basically stop an offense that hadn't been stopped all year. We stop them when they're still on script, fresh in the game. We catch that ball and go down the field and score. It injects some doubt in their psyche that may pervade, you know, maybe enough for us to win. Turned out, you know, if we hadn't given them that quick seven, it would have been enough for us to win. And we really did a lot of good things. This team's been scoring a lot of points, Jimmy. The only team to hold them under the 40s, I think, was Alabama.
Yes.
This team has scored a ton of points all year. And to just set them up on the goal line was something we couldn't have happen.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones where Phil is our first caller. Phil, you're on Sunday Sports Sound Off.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning. Doing fine.
Morning.
Hey, I've got a question. It's not that I necessarily disagree with Jimmy's take on Heupel potentially, you know, telling a player to go down when he's hurt. But I guess from a fan's perspective, Lane Kiffin's been doing it all game. And it's killed the momentum on drive after drive after drive. And I understand the concept of taking the high road, but the referees can't do anything about it. The SEC won't do anything about it. And at some point, it's almost nice to see a coach saying, if you're going to play that game, we'll play it too. Now, all that said, did Spraggins go back in the game?
Yes.
Because it looked to me.
Yes,
like,
he did.
Did he go the next play? He went back?
No, I'm not saying the next play. He went back in the game. But he... He came out because his helmet came off. He wasn't hurt. His helmet came off. He had to come out for a play. So he's jogging off the field, and Heupel demonstratively at least four or five times tells him, go down. Ole Miss went down a lot, and I agree with Tim. They went down more than Tennessee. I don't remember seeing Kiffin signaling players to go down, but I saw Heupel do it. So go ahead.
Well, it looked to me like Spraggins was limping at one point. And I get that Heupel is probably strategically telling him to go down. But let me get your comment on that, though. Like, do you not, at some point, is it not, I don't know if okay is the right word to use, but do you not stand up to Kiffin going down, his players going down, drive after drive? Every time we had momentum, every time we're moving, got the pace going, down goes an Ole Miss player, time in, time again. So Heupel does it. And is it not kind of standing up to Kiffin a little bit?
Well, I don't know why you do it if you have the ball. Usually that's the defense going down. Why are you telling one of your offensive players to go down unless maybe you think you need more time to call a play? Now, Ole Miss players went down. Tennessee players were going down. Both of them were doing this before I saw Heupel signal Spraggins to go down. Both of them were doing it. Now, I don't –
Well, let me ask you
– Okay, go ahead.
Let me ask you one more thing. Then, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but if you're saying it's not benefiting him, if it's hurting him or not helping him – that maybe not indicate that maybe Spraggins might have actually been hurt?
No, he wasn't
not
hurt.
Not to his benefit?
No, he was not hurt. He was jogging off the field. His helmet came off. That's why he was coming off the field. And he did go back in. I can't say if it was immediately, but he went back in. But why would a coach tell a guy who's running off the field or jogging off the field to go down? Let him get to the sideline. He didn't have to fall down on the field unless there was some reason. I think he may have wanted more time to call a play. Maybe that was what it was. But I'm not a fan of it. I've been on this for years. This isn't an all of a sudden I don't like this. But, again, I didn't see Ole Miss signaling players to do it. Did they fake injuries? Yes, they did. Did Tennessee fake them? Yes, they did. It's one reason the game was 4 hours and 33 minutes. But I just think it's wrong. I don't like it. And I don't appreciate a head coach obviously signaling for his player to go down. But most of those injuries, Phil, were they were on defense, right? Almost every one of them I saw was a defensive situation. So,
all right, well, I appreciate your perspective for sure. I guess I'm just not as a fan. I mean, we obviously are biased towards our own side, and no one likes the fake injuries. I mean, it's obnoxious, and that game was way too long. But the reality is this, I guess as a fan, I'm not so upset about Heupel because I don't think he abused it the way Lane Kiffin did. But I appreciate your perspective. Thanks, and see you later.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're on Sports Sound Off.
First of all, after all that, the stuff throwing, the stuff from the stands, the officials should have got together and not even played that last minute. They should have declared Ole Miss the winner and stopped the game. What would have been bad is if Tennessee would have scored that last time and beat Ole Miss. Okay? That right there is why people don't like y'all's fan base. And Hendon Hooker, poor darling, did your legs get...
Jeff, you're an idiot. Let's just move on. When we come back, we will continue to take more phone calls. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With Tim Irwin, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sports Sound Off.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we did really well. We had some breakdowns at times. I thought we made it tough on him for most of the night. Some quarterback draw that we got to be better against, and some third and longs early in the football game. We got to get off the football field.
That's Tennessee coach Josh Heupel talking about the difficulty of defending quarterback Matt Corral. Corral threw for 231 and two touchdowns. He ran for 195 net. He actually gained 222. He had 27 in sack losses. But, again, accounting for over 400 yards and two touchdowns. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off on 107.7 WIVK, 99.1 The Sports Animal, brought to you by the Marcos Garza Law Firm. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with Judge Tim Irwin. Let's go back to the phones, where our next caller is Johnny. Hello, Johnny.
Yes, sir. The way that you attack Heupel like that by blasting him about coaching the players to go down,
yes,
that was just like, without... I don't think you should have been so brutally hard on him because you never said anything about Kiffin, because that's what they did the whole time throughout the night whenever we had momentum going.
Did you see Kiffin signal a player to go down?
No, he coaches him through that. Don't be dumb. And the Heupel was just like done with it. And so he stood up with it. So
How do you know that?
They're coached that. Don't say that. Come on now. There's no way there's that many injuries. Just like a sniper in the stadium shot him down.
You're right. Both of them did it, and both of them were wrong.
But you were aggressive on Heupel.
I was because I saw him demonstratively signal a player to go down, and I did not see anything from Ole Miss demonstratively signaling from a player to intentionally fall down.
Coach it. That guy was just coming out, and I get why Heupel did it. So
why? You know, tell me why he did it.
He probably wanted that guy to stay in. So, you know, the helmet
he couldn't
off,
stay in. His helmet came off. He had to come out of the game.
Well, like Tim said, maybe he had a play that he had to get together.
Maybe so. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Let's go to another Phil. Phil, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Phil.
And then I'm traveling back to Middle Tennessee, man. I listen to you on 104.5 The Zone all the time. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hey, my theory is we were so thin on the offensive line. You think maybe he just realized maybe I didn't let him take an extra minute here so I make sure I got the right offensive lineman in. Maybe that's what it was because, like you said, he's the only one on offense went down the whole night. I don't think maybe it had something to do with the substitution. Since we were so thin at the offensive line, he's like, okay, let me make sure I got the right package for the next play.
You may be right. Yeah, that's a fair point, Phil. That might be what he was doing.
And that's all I can think of because you're right. Because that's not like him to do that. So it's like at the last second, he all of a sudden told him to do it. He was a foot from the sideline. So I think maybe he realized that he needed to get we're so thin on offensive line. But yeah. Hey, good talking to you, Jimmy.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Yeah, that might be the case. I'm not sure what his rationale was, but that might have been it, is to figure out who to put out there. Okay, let's go to Dwayne. Dwayne, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning. I just like to say, you know, that really, as disappointed as I was in the outcome of the game, I was more disappointed in the fan base. That was embarrassing. And there's no excuse for it. I mean, I think that anybody that participated in that should be ashamed of themselves and ashamed to be called a Tennessee Volunteer.
Dwayne, I agree with you. Tim, I said earlier, I think if they got any video, they should find it. They should not let those fans return. Do you think that's too harsh?
Not at all, Jimmy. I think that the fans' performance marred a lot of outstanding effort by the players on both sides of the ball. It was entertain. It was the most entertaining game I've seen in a long time, and I thought the fans' behavior marred what could have been a classic finish, and kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. And I thought our kids that are out there working hard deserve better than that. Again, like yeah. I said earlier, it's not life. It's football. It's a game. It's supposed to be fun. You're not supposed to care enough to be throwing things and putting people at risk. And, yeah, I was very disappointed. You know, I don't expect that kind of behavior out of our kids.
And here's the thing, too. So Tennessee had three timeouts left. There's 54 seconds left. And Tennessee utilized the timeouts. They got the stop they needed to. And they darn near won the game on that pass to Cedric Tillman. If they had continued to throw things on the field, and it was announced, if they keep doing it, the game's a forfeit and we're out of here, they could have cost the Tennessee team a chance, even a chance to win it. Now, Tennessee didn't win it, but it could have cost them a chance. You got to be smarter than that. You got to control your emotions better than that. Dwayne, anything else?
No, I just was really, really disappointed. I mean, that's what gives any fan base a bad name. And it just really bothered me.
Tim, yeah, we're going to have a bad name after that for quite some time.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Well, and also I left this out, but somebody said they were throwing beer cans out there too. Maybe they need to reconsider selling beer or stop it at a certain point. I don't know. Maybe they do, but maybe that's something they can revisit. Okay. Let's go back to the phones where Joe is our next caller. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I was looking at the tape again about this, the coach. And first of all, I don't think it was Heupel waving at Spraggins. And secondly, could it be that he was trying to tell him to hurry up to get off the line? Because if you look at it again, he's kind of waving his hand in. And then I don't know if maybe Spraggins misunderstood and just went ahead and went down. But just, you might want to go back and take a look at it. I don't think it was Heupel waving at him. And I kind of think he was actually trying to get him to come off the line faster. So that's all. Just wanted
okay.
to point that out. You might want
okay.
to take a look at it.
I'll go back and look at it again, Joe. Thanks for calling on that. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go to Hunter. Hunter, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, Jim.
Hey.
I was gonna bring up the fact that maybe they need to stop serving alcohol. I was close to the student section and last night, and it was absolutely terrible. So I think that definitely needs to be something, you know, that needs to be discussed. Cutoff time, like you said, I don't know if they do that or not. But as far as the players being sniped from the upper deck or whatever you want to say, I get it's not right now. It's currently not illegal, correct?
It is.
Right, exactly. That's what. Yeah,
well,
yeah. It's not illegal. So, and given Tennessee's depth issues, I think it's one of those things. Heupel probably wouldn't want to do that, but since nobody's going to call us out on it, we may as well buy us a few more seconds here and figure out who exactly we're putting in the game. So somebody go down quick. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what I think that they're having to do. They'd probably rather not, I'm sure. Nobody probably would. But until something gets put in place, and it's going to have to get put in place, I did actually. I tagged you in a video I found on Twitter of Kiffin doing that. It wasn't in last night's game, but he was motioning for players to go down or whatnot.
Well, that's wrong.
So check that out.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with you completely. I agree with you completely. But I'm just saying, until and we saw it last week in the Penn State game, it's going to be a problem every single week until something gets done about it. Whether it's, like you said earlier, you have to go out for X amount of plays, or unless it's in a – but, I don't know how you would control that unless it's a blatant thing like that was happening several times last night. But, I mean, until something gets a hold of that, or until the – and I'm sure they're going to look at it, surely, especially after last night. But until something does, it's going to continue and continue. And just it got ridiculous last night, as everybody in the crowd, you know, saw.
Sure.
And something's got to be done about it. They all do it. They all tell the players to go down. I've seen multiple coaches tell them to go down, go, you know, buy some more time. And like I said, given our lack of depth on the offensive line and, you know, different things like that, we you know, it's just buying time is all it is. You know, that's all we're doing here is just buying time, figuring out where we're going to go next. So that's just my two cents on
okay.
that.
Okay. Hunter, I appreciate it. I'm going to get Tim Irwin's thought on this, but here's the deal. The Rules Committee, I hate to say it's illegal because there's no punishment, but the Rules Committee has said we don't want that as a part of the game. It shouldn't be a part of the game. But coaches, you need to oversee this. We're putting this in your hands because we as officials do not want to make a decision on whether a guy is really hurt or not. So coaches, you police this. You're the ones. You have to stop this. And obviously the coaches have not stopped it because they're encouraging it. Heck, and Jeremy Pruitt, we saw Tennessee do some of that as well. And Tennessee isn't the only one, obviously. There are a bunch of teams out there doing it. So, Tim, if you're saying you can't do this, but we're not going to have any punishment, that makes it kind of hard to enforce something, doesn't it?
Well, sure it does. And the coaches know that there's no penalty for doing it. So they're going to do what's most advantageous to their team. You know, they used to have what we call get-back coaches that kept people off the line.
Yeah.
And now they got get-down coaches, you know, telling guys when to go down. It certainly mars the experience. I don't know if the right thing to do is I don't know if some kind of limit needs to be put on the quick offenses rather than what we got going on now. I don't know the answer, but I do know this. If there's not a penalty, then the rule's going to continue to be abused.
I agree with that. Here's the other thing the Rules Committee has discussed, but they've not adopted it. They have discussed making a player sit out X amount of plays if he does go down with an injury. Now, here's the other thing about the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee is made up of coaches. It's not made up of officials. It's made up of coaches. And they will take suggestions from officials, but the Rules Committee is all coaches. And so they're the ones that are going to – it's just like wearing knee pads. That's a rule. You're supposed to wear them. But if you don't, there's no punishment. They do not make you sit out because I've seen player after player not wear knee pads. But that is also a, quote, rule that is not administered, kind of like the fake injury deal. So, all right. When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls. We've got a full bank. We'll get to all of them as we hope to. We are brought to you by the Marcos Garza Law Firm. For Tim Irwin, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off.
Just that we were going to finish the game out. That was it. You know, I think there was concern about player safety, which should be. We're still going to find a way to finish the game there.
That's Tennessee coach Josh Heupel when asked if the officials ever came to him and said we might call the game. We did hear Jeff Jarnigan on the PA say that if fans don't stop throwing things, the game could be ruled a forfeit. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off with Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. We are brought to you by the Marcos Garza Law Firm. We got a full bank of calls, so let's work them in. Let's go to Al. Al, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hi, Jimmy. I've got several questions. Do you want me to do them one at a time, or should I give you a
a bunch of questions and expect you to remember them all?
You can go. It doesn't matter. I'll write them down. Go ahead. Go one at a time.
Okay.
Let's do one at a time.
One at a time. Okay. Does this mean the student behavior regarding is it possible that there would be that this would mean no more night games for this season?
No, it would not mean that. They will, and the night games are decided not by Tennessee, by the ESPN. So it would not mean that. Okay, what's your next one?
Okay. Is there a chance that they would just deny all student tickets for the next game?
I doubt they would deny all student tickets. All the students should be punished for the act of some. That would be my opinion. Tim, do you have a different thought?
Okay. No, I asked Tim. I'm sorry.
I don't think they could legally deny.
Yeah. Okay.
It's based on the conduct of others. I don't think they should either.
If they can find who did it, punish them, but not the whole student section.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Al.
So, in your experience, are they likely to review the tape and pick out individuals?
I can't speak to that because I don't ever remember seeing an issue like that. I don't know if they have footage to show that, but if they do, I think they should use it, and I think they should not allow those fans back in. That would be my take.
I agree.
Okay.
They wouldn't deny beer sales for the next game, would they? All beer?
I don't know. That's something to consider.
Many places you go in the country, cut off alcohol sales at the end of the third quarter.
There you go. Yeah.
And I could see that could be a possibility or a policy that might have some merit. I don't know.
And it's possible they do that now. I don't know the answer to that either. I'll find out, though, Al. But Al, I appreciate
it. Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
I used to sell Cokes in the stadium, and I can tell you nobody buys a Coke after the third quarter's over. And one more question. Why on earth would somebody not want to wear knee pads?
Go ahead.
They think it makes them faster. They think it looks good.
Yeah. That's it. Okay. Al, we appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Brett. Brett, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey there. Good morning, Jimmy. Hey, I agree 100% with what you're saying as far as, the Heifel situation. A couple of things here real quick. The penalty, there was one angle from the end zone that showed him. He had that ball around his waist area, and his knee hit before that yard line, whatever yard line, I say 30-yard line, and they were commenting, and they had the telestrator and all that stuff. I think it was a good call. I think he was not to that line. I won't get on that, but there was an angle that was from the front end that you could see that ball was tucked on his belly area. Number two, what kind of message is this sending to these kids out there playing football? Let's just fall down. Let's manipulate the rules. You know, that trickles down to peewee ball. You know, they're going to be doing all this stuff come fall in football games. And so, you know, to me, that's just ridiculous. Number three, why don't they enforce it? These coaches that are on this committee, why are there coaches? There needs to be officials on there. And, you know, it's easy to enforce it. Just make it a penalty. Why is it such a big deal? And number three, the alcohol. I mean, what are four, wherever I'm at, the alcohol sales. You didn't ever see this stuff until alcohol starts. I know people that work in the concessions over there, and they're supposed to cut this stuff off in the third quarter or whatever. But I'm sitting out there waiting to pick up people. People are just stumbling all over everybody. I had to wait in traffic because some guy got out of his car to get Doritos. Anyway, I digress on that. So those are my biggest issues. And, again, Jimmy, I like you, old school. That's just makes it just makes me so frustrated to see this. And I hate to say it, I think Lane Kiffin had the most class out there of anybody last night. I mean, he kept his mouth shut and whatever, but I mean that was just an embarrassment to the UT fan base, I think. So I hope there should be some penalties, and I don't know what the university or SEC will do about it. You know, that will show me where they really stand if they don't take some action against the students or somebody to kind of get this under control. And that's all I got to say. Appreciate y'all.
Okay. Thanks, Brett. On the Warren situation, we could quibble a little bit. I thought the ball was at his ribs, not necessarily the waist, but it was not up at his shoulders. And I never saw that angle that Brett's talking about that showed it clearly. I was not convinced when I saw it live. I thought it was I thought he had the first down. When I watched replays, I wasn't as sure about that. Enforcing it, I have felt like, and we've had this discussion for a long time, even going back to when Rocky Good was our replay expert that came on the air with us on Sports Talk, they don't have officials on the rules committee. It's all coaches. Now, officials make suggestions, and officials can tell them, hey, we think this, we think that, but the coaches are the ones that adopt the rules, at least in college football. And again, I'll check on the alcohol sales. Maybe they do cut it off in the third quarter. I know they've cut it off in like three-fourths of into a basketball game, but I'll check on football and see. I'll try to get an answer for that. So, and then, Tim, I think he's right. I think it's not a good message for kids coming up if you're faking injuries. But the hard thing on enforcing it is sometimes a player really is injured. Hendon Hooker was really injured. So it's kind of sometimes it could be hard to enforce, I guess, is my point. Your thoughts?
I don't think the responsibility to determine whether it's a real injury or not should be put on the officials.
Yeah.
I don't think that should happen. I just think you need a firm rule where if you leave the game, you have to stay out more than one play, and that would stop it. That would, yes, you know, make it three plays, make it five plays. If you leave the game, if you go down and they have to stop the ball game, you have to sit out for three plays, five plays. That may stop some of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may stop some of it.
I hope so.
It stopped people. It stopped when they changed the rule in the pros and started doing the runoff. It stopped people from going down late in the game.
Yes.
Just about eliminated it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we may need something like some sanction like that to stop it. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. And as far as the knee pads, that's idiotic. I mean, here I am. I made a career playing football, and I have two artificial knees now. Why would I not protect the most vulnerable joint in the body to injury when you're dealing with athletics? Why would you not protect it? Because you think it might make you a little faster not to have your knees covered with a pad? Come on. That's just stupid. You talk about something that sends a wrong message to children. That's the wrong message to children.
Yeah.
I've coached a lot of youth football. If I ever had anybody on my team show up with their knees uncovered, they'd be sent home. I don't like that. Never have liked it.
All right, when we come back, it'll be hour number two of Sunday Sports Office. We're brought to you by the Marcos Garza Law Firm.